Welcome to Inciting Incidents D&D, the podcast about high adventure, excitement, and how players manage to fuck up my plans this week. My name is Stuart, aka Augustine the Dungeon Master. Episode 2 covers villains. This campaign started June 12th, 2021, with my friend Andrew, Spencer, Frankie, Randy, Ben, and then later we had our friend Billy, aka Gambler, Simply, aka Megan, and Sean Omega. They will come into the second season of this. This will follow a little bit of a different format than the last episode, so we're going to be talking a little bit more of story time. This campaign started off as an inciting incident like the Fallout video game series, where we had everyone show up or wake up dead. The players started off being dead for the last 200 years and were resurrected by an off-brand necromancer who was outsourced by Acerarak, the arch-lich, or the famous lich in all of D&D, to actually resurrect them for a giant evil plan, yada yada yada, but he outsourced it, so they came back with their own free will. Each character had their own backstory that involved particular, like, dynamic of who killed me as their driving character motivation, because villains have to be a very different character motivation than regular players, because they're inherently selfish. So, as a player breakdown, just to give you an idea of the shenanigans that are about to ensue, my friend Andrew's character is a changeling bard from the College of Eloquence named Dasomir. Spencer is a bounty hunter for his background, a Golarik, which is a Goliath orc hybrid, which is a deep part of his backstory and his previous character's shtick. Monk, who is practicing the way of the Ascendant Dragon named Draco. Frankie, a street urchin who is a Yako Ketsune, he is playing a character who is a rogue named Midna. Randy, the alchemist and wizard, he is a mountain dwarf war wizard named Randy. And then, that's our first season ensemble with a few, like, friends popping in here and there, but we basically have that as our core character group. So the module that we were playing for this particular instance was the Princes of the Apocalypse. The way the villains campaign really kind of worked out was in seasons, like the way that players rotated in and out. It kind of formed like a natural, like, season 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever. So that actually worked out fairly well. Right. So the thing everyone's here for, story time. So the villains, as characters, they naturally decided to avoid the eyes of law enforcement or any kind of meaningful authority. The villains, as soon as they woke up from the dead, headed to the nearest town and robbed the tailor blind. Midna, our rogue, successfully managed to roll a persuasion check to seduce the tailor and distracted him, at the same time destroying his marriage in the process. So the tailor's wife was yelling at him because he was ogling a fox lady. In the background, our players were looting the entire, like, treasury of his fanciest silks and garments while their marriage was falling apart in the background. The next incident, following several other shenanigans after the tailor, the players still were maintaining a low profile among the law enforcement of the area, minus Draco, who we'll get to in a minute. The players smartly, actually, stole from the Mafia, or the Thieves Guild, more often than anyone else. Not in a give to the rich, or steal from the rich and give to the poor kind of way, in a who's going to call the cops kind of way. Another instance that more or less drew from the Alfred Hitchcock school of tension, for me at least as a dungeon master, was the time that they unearthed an orb of elemental earth among a bushel of green apples. And they didn't know what it was at the time. And if you use the identify spell on the orb, it'll automatically trigger its countdown feature. And it causes an earthquake in a 1 mile area, just in a big old circle around that fixed point. And before any of our players identified it with any magical skill or anything like that, our bard hit it with his lute, which the thing only has an AC of 10, so it doesn't take a high enough roll to damage it, or very high roll to damage it at all. So, like, thank God he is a bard and only rolled like an 8 or a 9, And, like, I am sweating bullets here because if they had hit it, the building's going to collapse on them for no apparent reason other than the fact that they just triggered a magical WMD. And then, speaking of our Bart, my friend Andrew, in another instance, we had tied, or I had tied, his backstory to the elemental air boss in one of the deeper dungeons on the Princes of the Apocalypse module that the high elf lady boss of that module was his ex-romantic partner, but in the moment when he saw her face, I gave him, his character, a big dose of PTSD flashback, and he remembered that she was the reason why he died in the first place. Needless to say, he felt the need to end her life personally, or his character felt the need to end her life personally. Our new paladin friend Megan was there next to him, and her only reaction was, at the time in character, was, it seems like you got something personal going on here. I'm just going to let you feel that out, so I'm just going to be over here. Okay, thanks. So our paladin had several Rule of Cool moments that I allowed while we were playing in the fire dungeon. Speaking of her, the boss was taunting everyone while creating multiple fire orbs, which were just WMDs in their own right. Yes, they're stacking inside a volcano. And she uses Smite on a ranged attack and kills her from a distance. Yeah. Rule of Cool overrides everything, though, so it's fine. So the boss evaporated, and she got to claim victory from that one while someone else threw the dagger into the portal and sealed the fire away for good on that one. So it may sound like heroics, but the villains actually turned up to be saving the day for selfish motivations, should we say. The Princes of the Apocalypse module, they only defeated 3/4 of the elemental princes. The air one's still at large. It's been at large for like 40 years in that part of the world. So it's been just nothing but tornadoes. The villains really saved the day just to save themselves, or at least to be able to continue to pillage the world that they live in. When they got to a point when they fought the Air Temple, they were met with 8 guards holding orbs of elemental air, which triggered tornadoes. And they had a suicide pact, and all 8 of the guards detonated them at the same time. The party had to escape quickly, and it was a tornado, 8 tornadoes going off at once inside of a cave structure. So our barbarian, gambler slash Billy, our friend, he managed to paint a wall or paint a door in the middle of nowhere with the, was it Nathar's pigments? I'll have to double check the item, but the magical pigments, where he managed to coat a door that was like a Van Gogh painting in the middle of a tornado while being shielded by our monk and paladin. They managed to escape, albeit exhausted and bloodied. At the end of it, they were like, wait a minute, we don't have to save the day, do we? Technically, no. All right, well then, we're just going to go. We're going to go on vacation. Bye! So we're now going to go spend the next, like, 6 levels of downtime just hanging out. There are so many more shenanigans, too, for the villain campaign that I could digress and go on forever into a jillion different tangents. That being said, thank you for listening to episode 2 of Inciting Incidents. If you would like more, please feel free to let me know. We're working on subscribing, so I'll get you there. The other end of this episode's sponsor is brought to you by Ron's Raptor Reserve, now offering guided and unguided tours. Come see the sunny Southern Hemisphere with exclusive retreat options. Discounts apply. Today's episode is brought to you by Von Murderhoff Munitions. When something needs killing on more than one plane of existence, think Von Murderhoff.